Good day, I'm Warren Thompson, the editor of MindWeb, and joining me on the podcast today is Neil Pretorius, from the Chief Executive Officer of DRD Gold. Good to have you with us, Neil.
Thank you.
So the results that you reported, the interim results for the 6 month ending December, you showed that production had fallen by 7% to 2,100 kilograms of gold, and the amount of gold sold fell by 10% to 2,298 kilograms. But operating profits still rose by 4% to $172.6 million on the back of stronger rand gold prices. So just from your perspective, Neil, the operating profit, very positive, but you did report a headline loss. Just tell us, explain to us how we went from the operating profit to the headline loss.
Certainly. We are pulling out of the West Rand footprint in the Roodepoort area. The Crown plant has basically reached the end of its life, so we're moving further east towards the south of Johannesburg and Springs and Brakpan, where the Ergo plant is. So a portion of the charges that were brought against the income statement in the last 6 months included 18 million rand for redundancies, for retrenchment payments. There was also an accelerated depreciation for some of the Crown assets that we still carried on balance sheet. And because the share price performed well, we also had to adjust our long-term valuation for long-term incentive payments. That's about a 12 million rand cost that's been recognized. So two of those were non-cash items, and one was a cash outflow associated with redundancies. That would have added about 11 cents to headline earnings, to the two non-cash items and then the one actually cash outflow item.
And then also from a unit cost perspective, you had an increase, I think, of 10%, if I'm not mistaken. The 14% increase in the cash operating cost per kilogram, while the operating margin remained stable. So you mentioned some of the things that were increasing ahead of our CPI at the moment was wages and then electricity and water. So just explain.
Look, those two are already factored into costs going forward, and typically we manage to offset those either with production, and more often than not you'll see the gold price also keeping track. The gold price doesn't stay, despite the ups and downs, it does over the longer term it does tend to increase somewhat. These additional costs that we incurred over this period are mostly associated with the final stages of rehabilitation / production on that site. There are two sites. One is an older legacy site right next to the Crown plant, and the other one is a site where production is now coming to an end, where we've mined out most of the resource. And this particular site was built in a low-lying wetland area. It actually displaced a stream. So the material to lift the material out of this particular site costs more than what our usual costs, what we're accustomed to. Typically, our cost per ton is roughly 70 rand, between 70 and 80 rand from most of our sites. We've had instances where it went up to about 150, 160 rand. So these are now coming to an end, both these cleanup sites. We're moving into three new sites that have been commissioned in the central part of Johannesburg and further east, closer to the Ergo plant. Fortunately, not lying in similar areas. These are easier to access. So we're likely to see better consistency in tonnage throughput. We're anticipating an increase in tonnage throughput. And obviously, insofar as these replacement tons are concerned, a fairly significant reduction in operating costs of around about 200,000 tons of material that would be the replacement materials coming into the plant per month on a monthly basis. So for us, the financial year up until now consisted to a large extent in tying up some of the loose ends associated with pulling out of the West Rand and consolidating operations closer to the plant. And it's the nature of the business. We actually own several smaller mines. Each resource, each dump is a mine. It has its own characteristics. And out of 10 dumps that we process, maybe one would pose these challenges when it comes to final cleanup. This was a particularly large site that had been built 80 years ago in an area that was environmentally sensitive. So we took the decision. We're going to see this through. We're going to clean it up while we still have infrastructure here. Now we're moving into areas that are far less challenging to mine, easy to maintain volume throughput and also consistency of throughput, which impacts on densities and recovery efficiencies. So on the whole, a year of consolidation, cleanup, tying up the loose ends, and setting the basis or the platform for us moving forward in the new financial year from July, August and onwards of mining off a far more stable and predictable platform.
Now, some of the distances are quite incredible. I mean, we're just talking before the interview where the material comes from and then where it goes to in terms of the tailings facilities that you've prepared and you have in place.
Yeah.
With the operations moving closer to the Ergo plant, I mean, what do you kind of work on a sort of cost per ton to move this material, say from the West Rand as opposed to the East Rand? Is there a tangible difference in that?
There's not much of a difference insofar as the actual day-to-day production costs are concerned. Distance is not really your issue, it's head. And if you have to lift your material, then that could impose quite an energy cost. Whereas here, you basically accelerate large quantities of material. You'll find that your cost savings are mostly incidental, namely it's a more accessible area, so you don't have to mechanically lift material, stockpile it, and only then wash it away, because it's all done by way of pipelines and pumps and so forth. It's a slurry that gets pumped. And you'll have a smaller footprint, so less security and so forth and so on. The real saving lies in the fact that it's easier and cheaper to reclaim this material as opposed to, you know, the fact that it's closer.
Okay. One of the things that I think you identified as affecting your production was the throughput and the grade. And I was quite interested in the grade because ultimately this is a massive volume business. And I wanted to try and understand how much control you think you have over grade. Will it, and again, you know, working closer to Ergo, will these plants in the East Rand provide you with a better sense of what's coming into your plant on a, you know, on a half-yearly basis?
Yes, now we've got a good sense of our grade. The areas that we're mining are of a slightly lower grade. You know, many of the older sites that are mostly sand sites have been reclaimed fully. So grade is stabilizing at a somewhat lower level, but you do make it up with your volume throughput. So the infrastructure has been set up in such a way that we can probably mine a little bit more than what we're mining at the moment. You have to keep the plant consistent, though. You have to keep the plant in a stable condition or in balance, because sometimes by pushing too much volume through, your residence time in the plant is inadequate and you might see lower recoveries. It's really a case of consistency and keeping the plant in balance. And then finding that sweet spot between your volume throughput and your extraction efficiency. And you know, these things are monitored on a second-by-second basis. We analyze the daily trends on most of the important inputs, and then we adjust the throughput based on that and the chemical mix in the plant as well. The big issues for us really are volume inconsistency. If there's bad weather, sometimes, you know, you might have half a day or so where you don't have production, and then just catching up and just getting the plant back into its normal rhythm and losing, you know, tons from time to time as a consequence of that. Insofar as the actual metallurgical process is concerned, provided that you manage those inputs very, very carefully, the plant process itself has become a fairly predictable process.
Just to illustrate for the benefit of the audience, I mean, in a normal South African underground gold mine, I think we're getting about 6 grams a ton based on head grade. What was the grade for the 6 months that you realized?
Well, my illustration that I usually give to people just to indicate both the scale and also the quality of the material that we introduced. Typically, a very large plant would receive between 100 and 150,000 tons per month of hard rock material. We do just on 2 million tons a month.
2 million tons.
Yes. And you very seldom see grades lower than 3 gram a ton. Yeah, we introduce just north of 0.3 gram a ton. So our volumes are 20 times higher and our grades are 10 times lower. So you really have to manage your inputs very, very carefully and keep the plant in balance. Run it towards a recipe and trust your inputs and then you know, wait for the gold to come out. And more often than not, it does.
Great. The last outstanding feature I wanted to discuss, Neil, was the notable increase, massive increase actually, in your minerals reserves, which rose by 56%, if I've understood that correctly.
Yes.
Just tell us what's happened there.
Well, two things really. I think our understanding of our metallurgical process is at a point now where we could better forecast the extraction efficiency. So we can basically construct a life of mine plan based on a metallurgical efficiency assumption that supports the bulk of the remainder of our resource. We've had another look at our basic infrastructure, our engineering infrastructure, and that's adequate to also treat it at the required rate. So having run the numbers, having looked at our deposition capacity and the anticipated extraction efficiencies, which we believe we will achieve, and also extrapolating the consensus view on the gold price, we came to the right set of numbers. There's plenty of material out there. We have a resource of 11.8 million ounces, and only 3 million ounces at this stage are in reserve. So there's still more opportunity for us to increase it even further. But this adds another 5 years to what we're doing. Hopefully we can clean up many more sites in and around the Johannesburg area, and also make enough money doing that to keep our investors interested.
So just to get that right, so it's a reserve of 3 million ounces at the moment, and yeah, a resource of 11 million ounces.
11.8 million ounces.
Yes. Just, and what's that in terms of the actual amount of material that you've got to process there?
Well, we have accessible material of roughly 700 million tons.
Right.
At the moment, we've got 300 million in reserve. The resource is actually quite a bit higher than 700 million, but realistically, looking at what we can access and what we can process for the time being without having to spend a fortune on additional infrastructure and so forth, and I'm talking 20, 25, 30 years from now, we probably have around 700 million accessible tons.
So it's a business that's going to be around for a long time still.
It can be if it's run properly. I think if we stick to our strategy of sustainable development. We try to create value overlap between the different capital stocks associated with sustainable development. If we remain patient and conservative, it is a business that's being managed and run on a fairly conservative basis. Then I think we can be around for many, many years. We're doing 24 million tons, or just north of 24 million tons per annum at the moment. So, that goes into 700 million tons how many times? That's many, many years, long past my career span, hopefully. Company's been around since 1895. So, hopefully it can be around for another few decades.
Great. We'll leave it there.
Thank you.
That was Neil Pretorius, the Chief Executive Officer of DRD Gold.